This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
We've got Daryl coming up in 20 minutes. We'll talk about this Browns-Steelers matchup. We also have to get into the stakes for this game. But big game last night, the Cavs lost. I think the general sentiment by Cavs fans is because they got back in the game and they pulled it within three. That's what they lost by. That they still felt like they met the measuring stick, even if they didn't clear that bar, even in the loss. Do you agree?
100%. And what's interesting is that if we would have just, if halftime was the game and that was it, and then you just matched them for third and fourth quarter, Nick, I don't know what the vibes would have been like today.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because I really struggle with that first half. That was really uninspired basketball.
I was already getting ready to have the conversations. I think we would have just been like, oh, well, Boston just plays a different style of basketball than we do. And when they shoot threes, it just is what it is. And then I probably would have ranted about how I hate the three ball these days.
Yeah.
And everything associated with it just because of when Anthony Edwards is taking 13 threes a game, you lost the plot.
Yeah, I mean, like on one hand,
But they didn't even end up shooting that many threes.
Yeah, and I think it was a good game. And I don't think it was a bad loss. It just, I don't love that in that game, the Celtics came out like they had more to play for, and you're the team that was in a strong position if you get that win in the cup. It would have been 16-0. Again, it's not that you lost, but that first half, I think, is something. And when Kenny Atkinson comes out and says, yeah, they were just more physical. They just had a playoff intensity, and we didn't.
Yeah.
I would like to know, truthfully, from the Cavs, why that is. Again, not a huge, but I think you could have won that game if you'd come out with the right intensity, because I think so much of why they didn't win the game is it was so hard to claw back from that deficit that it took all your effort to get there.
Well, and think about it. Oddly enough, we've seen this movie a ton already this year. We've just been on the other side of it, Nick. The Cavs have been involved in so many games where we have a big lead, and third, fourth quarter, you watch the other team claw their way back into it. But what's true about those games is true about the game last night. Even in the fourth quarter, when it got within two, I was like, oh, that was a nice avalanche that happened in the third quarter in particular. But I wasn't thinking, oh, the Cavs are just going to run away with this thing. Like, I always thought it was a game of runs. I always thought it was going to go back into Boston's favor. The same way the previous five games when the Cavs had played bad teams and we had better, you know, leads, and then they clawed back into it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't think they're coming back and winning those either.
I will say, again, I think they met the measuring stick. They just didn't clear it.
Yeah, which is fine.
I'm actually really okay with that from the standpoint of, now I think it gives us something in the net. What do you have, three games left against Boston?
Mm-hmm.
To go ahead and see, can you take two of those three, right? And what does it look like? Because I think the physicality is the easy thing. I think showing up with the requisite intensity, I think, is the easy thing. And I hope that this is a lesson. Because, again, Cavs have done this a fair amount since, like, win 10. And this is the game that you don't do that in. I hope that is the lesson from here of, I get you're tired. I get, and they do have a chance here. I think they've got four games in the next 11 days. That is a great opportunity to kind of get healthy and just kind of relax a little bit, take some more of that wear and tear off your body. But I hope that that's the lesson that comes out of here, and that you can hang with them. You know, like,
you can definitely hang with them.
And I, like, it's interesting because I still don't think Boston played their best game. I thought they had a really nice first half. I thought they out-physicaled you. But by the time you play, maybe not the next time, I expect Porzingis to be back by the next round of games after, I think, the new year.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that's another thing that I think is really interesting. I don't think you played anywhere near your best game. But I don't think they did either.
I mean, a lot of players had nice nights. Garland, obviously, excluding that conversation.
Yeah, I think those nice nights were improved by the second half. I if you look at the box score going into the second half,
well, yeah, but bleak. The third quarter is still part of the game. I mean,
I think my point is, I think they had a nice half.
I think the same way I think Boston had a nice first half. It was just a tale of two halves, essentially.
Yeah, I Boston still hung in there. I mean, it's not. I mean, it was really
the second quarter that they went away was basically flipped by the third quarter.
Boston, yeah. So Boston had three really good quarters and one bad quarter. I think that's more how I'd put it.
Essentially, yeah.
All right. I don't know. I'm splitting hairs with that. 216-474-0092. Did the Cavs still pass the measuring stick even though they took the L last night? Jordan in Cleveland, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, first and foremost, I want to say I listen to you guys every single day. I love you guys. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
I was listening to the Morning Boys this morning, and I think there was a little bit of an overreaction, and here's why I say that. Yes, Darius Garland had a pretty crappy game, but we got to take into account that we didn't have a Coral, LeVert, Dean Wade, Max Strus. I mean, those are pretty big guys that we were missing out of our starting lineup. And Darius, you know, he makes three more shots. Maybe we win the game. Caris LeVert comes in, puts up his sneaky 12 points. Isaac Okoro comes in, locks down Jason Tatum. I think we have a shot to win at least four out of seven of those games. Obviously, it's four to, you know, close to four, but first to four. But I really think we're selling them short a little bit here in Cleveland, and I think that's just how Cleveland fans are. You know, we don't get the win, and all of a sudden everyone just starts to converge on them and tell everyone how bad of a job they did. But that's what I got, and I'll let you guys talk about it. Thank you.
So it's interesting that because I thought you and I disagreed to what extent to take it to. But I don't think there's any defending Darius's game last night. He was just bad. Like, he just had a bad night at the office. That being said, I did see a fair amount of what Jordan was saying.
Oh, see, I saw the opposite. Maybe we're on... Are you back on that For You section of Twitter?
I am on that For You section of Twitter.
You're back on the For You section.
And let me tell you, shooters were shooting last night.
They were definitely... maybe we played at the different corners of the internet then. I felt like it was just a round of applause. Congratulations to the Cavs for showing you can hang tight. Like I there was obviously a lot of Garland pessimism, and yeah. I live in that corner of the internet. I do. But I didn't see much from an actual Cavs perspective that was anything but a win in a loss last night.
Oh, see, I think there are people out there who viewed last night as the "see, you're not real." And again, that's just ridiculous. I will say, I think it's kind of ridiculous to say, the Cavs can do it.
I mean, I think the moment Shaq in the postgame show kind of backed up what he said in the pregame show and didn't waver away from that, I thought that was a big testament to the Cavs having a game that showed you can do something.
I think Shaq and Chuck just take differing weeks to say nice things about certain teams, and then they flip back the next week. Because I could have swore two weeks ago, Shaq was like, they're not a championship team. That's not good, Shaq.
No, he blamed Atkinson, remember? Yeah. A couple weeks ago, he blamed Atkinson. And then last night before, he said they can go to the Eastern Conference Finals and they can beat Boston. And then after the game, he kind of backed that up. Like he didn't waver from that, where at halftime, I thought he was going to cry in the corner.
And you do not want Shaq to back it up. I'm just going to tell you that right now. But no, I think it's going to be really – like, again – I think you have three more chances against Boston, but in the end, when it truly comes to hanging with Boston, I think it starts with some of the reasons why you had issues in that Boston series. Some were Jarrett was not there. Some were Donovan eventually got hurt.
Yeah.
But if you look at it, Donovan really was the only guy early in that series who knew the physicality that was required.
Okay, but that series was five games and not really even a series.
Yeah. Well, but I think my point is, that's why it's worth paying attention to the first half yesterday. Because now, I don't want to see that again. Because
you're telling me that's a bad thing, Nick.
No, the first half, them not coming out and getting out physical.
That was sarcastic.
Okay, just making sure.
It's like obvious points for 500, Alex. Thank you. You don't want to repeat what happened in the second quarter with Boston
but
again.
Even
like,
in,
yeah.
No, I'm talking about in the regular season. I'd like to see you.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I sounded too sarcastic there. That's on me.
You're hurting my feelings.
I'm sorry about that.
Great point. But I think inevitably, I think everybody's going to say last night, one way or another, yesterday confirmed a lot of opinions, and they're differing opinions. To me, it's like you had a chance to truly prove by playing four quarters against them. I give you some credit for last night, but man, I want to see better now. Like, okay, that was cool. That was fun. You made it a game. Happy you made it a game. I think other teams would just have laid down. I think that's a good sign. But now I need to see and what's the next evolution of this? Right? Like, what's the next step? And then I'm going to keep kicking that can down the road until you get to the playoffs, until you play him again.
Yeah. I don't know. I I'm happy about the game overall, and I think that's all you can really ask for in November. And I'm happy I got to that spot. Odyssey Rewind, I go off on Darius in the 2 o'clock segment, and I mean, there's no need to retouch that.
Really fun though. It's really fun.
I mean, yeah, but like for us right now, I think we're good with that reality.
Daryl Ryder, he's part of our new reality. He'll be joining us next. We're gonna get his thoughts on the end of the streak. Streakers live on. We'll also get his thoughts on this Brown-Steelers game. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. I've Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin with you. We do have Bandwagons coming up in just about 30 minutes with Jax Gregory, Sweet Young Thang. But Brown-Steelers tomorrow night here in Cleveland. We are going to be out and about. You guys are going to hear more of a pregame show tomorrow between JP and I as we are leading you right up to the game and to get you ready for that game to talk about where the hell we're going with this thing. We welcome on Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hi, Daryl.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Good. How are we? Have we mentioned happy birthday yet, or did we do that on Monday?
We did it Monday.
Come and gone.
All right.
We're on to year number 48.
Look at that. Proud of you.
Ooh, wow.
Proud of you. Some of us didn't think you were going to make it, but you did.
Why does it feel always taboo by some people not to mention their age?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, on air.
Yeah, 48's the new goal. We're past 47, on to 48, and you know, so it's kind of like the Browns. They're trying to get to win number 3.
Vanity. That's why people don't want to mention
that. Is that what it is? Okay.
Straight up vanity.
There will be a point where I stop mentioning my age, right?
No. Own it. Own it. It's good.
No, I mean, Darryl's, I always do. I consistently say my age, and I'm wondering if I get to a spot where
it'll be 40.
I had no idea how old you were until you said it. My guess was actually a couple years younger, if I'm being honest.
Well, that's very kind of you, but I've seen some stuff over the years.
I've seen some stuff in Berea. We had Albert Breer yesterday who said he thinks the entire works are going to get a mulligan for this year. As just kind of like some, hey, we all screwed up with the Deshaun thing, and that means Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, and Paul D. Podesta. What would your reaction be if Jimmy gave everybody the mulligan?
I think from a personnel standpoint, that could be a grave mistake because I don't have much of a case to make for Andrew Berry to keep his job as much as I like him both personally and professionally. Kevin Stefanski, I do have a case to make for him to keep his job. But from a personnel side, no. This was supposed to be a window of contention, get this thing over the top, compete for Super Bowls, and this is year 5. It's an unmitigated disaster. 3 of the 5 years are losing campaigns. Yes, there are mitigating circumstances to some of that, but central to the problem, obviously, is the big trade to Deshaun Watson. You have a lot of free agent signings that haven't worked out. You have draft picks that aren't working out and that aren't getting second contracts, high draft picks. We're talking first round picks. Whereas, you know, with Stefanski, you know, setting aside the 2-time coach of the year, he has had to work with 10 different starting quarterbacks. He has won football games with 8 of those guys. 4 or 5 of those guys have won multiple football games. He's never had the guy to play in his system. I think in a moment of true honesty, I don't think Kevin Stefanski would tell you that Baker Mayfield was ever his prototypical quarterback. I don't think he'd ever tell you Deshaun Watson is his prototypical quarterback. That's just what he's had to work with, and so he's tried to make the most of it. Now, someone like a Joe Flacco, as far as the physical stature, the arm strength, the way he plays the game, those 5 weeks with Flacco, I think, was the deepest glimpse into what Stefanski's offense is supposed to look like. They're not running Stefanski's offense this year. They're running whatever the hell it is that Ken Dorsey brought to Cleveland, and we see what a catastrophe that is. So, there is a case to keep Kevin. I just don't know that there's much of a case to keep Andrew Berry other than to maintain continuity.
Daryl Juan Thornhill's on Instagram posting a photo of Forrest Gump. DeJuan Jones is going after our friends and former media member, still media member, former radio host Adam DeBull there.
Former friend.
Jeez, my goodness. But when it comes to the two instances, I was telling Nick earlier, I don't believe that would have happened at any other point in the Stefanski regime, where like last night turned into not just one but two things happening. It was very odd, Daryl.
Yeah, and I just kind of feel like both of those players need to just worry about performing on the field and doing what they're supposed to be doing on the field. Less time on the social media, firing back at media people, more time actually doing your jobs.
When you say the social media, now you do sound 48, just fair.
Yeah, that's fine. and by the way, Nick, that was intentional. I totally meant to sound like grumpy old white
guy. I always
guy
call
right
it
there.
The Facebook, Daryl, don't worry.
The Facebook?
Or
well,
the book
as, long as, as long as you don't call it Snap Face, we're good.
That was a was that
Bill Belichick,
and he loved it. He loved every second of it too.
Yes,
and then
yes.
No, because then he did it. Was it Freddie that copied? Somebody copied that? Was it Hugh? One of the coaches here copied it, and they did it in the exact same term that Bill Belichick did. And it was like
flat.
Yeah, get your own bit. Get your own bit. Yeah,
right. Yeah, so that's kind of my thing. Hopefully, DeJuan is able to recover from this, this surgery he had, and come back and be productive. Unfortunately, now you're talking broken lower leg as well as a knee injury that he's had to come back from. And Thornhill's just been a disappointment. Certainly, has not shown to be worth the money that he's been given, akin to the JJ3 contract that Andrew Berry gave out, right? Andrew Berry, not good at drafting wide receivers, not good at signing safeties in free agency.
Daryl, looking to the Steelers game, would a win or loss to the Steelers feel different than any other team, given that the Browns have lost to almost every other team?
I don't know. I mean, this strikes me, I'm working on my game preview for the website, now, and it kind of, this feels like a game that the Browns aren't supposed to win, but they're going to win. That it just I have that vibe right now. This is a game they're not supposed to win. The Steelers are supposed to come in and stomp them good. But I just there's a part of me that thinks that the Browns are going to find a way to win this game tomorrow night. The home team has won each of the last five meetings between these two teams. The Steelers have not won a divisional road Thursday night football game ever, which I found that to be astonishing. They're 0-7. Tomlin's 0-5 himself. And the Browns, hey, they play well on Thursday night football. They're 6-0 since their last loss, which came back in 2016. So I just kind of feel like this is a game the Browns are supposed to lay a big egg on national TV or Amazon Prime, and they're going to come out like gangbusters and play like the team we all expected them to, and everyone's going to have false hope that this thing is headed in the right direction.
Daryl, I've heard this story from you like four times already this year.
No.
So I think that was the Commanders game.
But you know what? Here's the thing.
The Eagles game.
Jonathan, I'm committed to the bit, and yeah. At some point I will be right.
But I see what you're saying. You laid out a lot of stats there with Tomlin. I got another one. Tomlin 2-8 on the road on Thursday Night Football. Last win in 2016. Like, this would be an embarrassing loss if you're the Steelers.
Yeah, and and if you think they're a bunch of crybabies now over the little whatever Myles Garrett had to say yesterday, I've never seen a fan base be crybabies over their team being successful. Like in Pittsburgh, I mean, they still want to fire Mike Tomlin. That guy's never had a losing season there. He's on his way to his 12th playoff season since taking over in 2007. I think Browns fan would kill for that kind of success here in Cleveland to have a coach do that. Meanwhile, in Pittsburgh, the Yinzers want to throw him out the door. It just speaks to their lack of intelligence down there. But I digress. I kind of feel like that. When you talk about it, I can't even call it a rivalry because it just feels like the Browns keep getting beaten with both arms tied behind their backs, right, since 1999 in this rivalry. It's been a one-sided affair. I mean, the Browns have fired six coaches after losses to the Steelers, most of them in Pittsburgh, right? Guys not getting to take the bus ride home type of situations, but I don't know. There's just something that tells me that the Browns are going to show up tomorrow night because everybody's got them counted out. Also, everybody in the league's going to be watching, and we know how players can get when they know they're being watched by everybody. They give a little extra, and I think that the Browns are going to get a little extra tomorrow night from those guys.
Daryl, how do you do it? Like, what's the path forward? Is it Jameis throws?
Oh, I thought you meant be positive about the game tomorrow.
No. Is it no risky, no bisky with Jameis? I'm just trying to think. Like, what's the path to victory here?
Well, the Steelers play an ugly brand of football. I mean, just look at that Ravens game on Sunday, right? Yes, their offense can get hot, but it really is just an ugly brand of football. The forecast tomorrow night isn't all that great either. I kind of feel like, too, that Kevin Stefanski wouldn't say this, but Nick Chubb only played 22 snaps Sunday in New Orleans. And I kind of feel like they saved Nick Chubb for tomorrow night. So, I don't know, maybe this is the Nick Chubb game that everyone's kind of been waiting for here. We've seen some glimpses from him, but yeah, I don't know that it's going to be optimal throwing conditions, which means the Browns will probably try and throw it 45 times because that's just how things go, right? But for, you know, to beat the Steelers, you can't turn the football over. You have to win the turnover battle. And, you know, you force that offense into kicking long field goals, and you have to take care of your scoring opportunities when you get in the red zone. If you do those things, you got a pretty good shot to win.
Do you think Russell Wilson is good?
Not really. I thought he was washed coming from Denver. I think he's average, but in Pittsburgh with the way Mike Tomlin coaches and the way that defense is and just the organizational culture they have there, average is good enough to be successful. I mean, we'd love
to have
average
tell me
here.
There, Daryl.
What's that?
You don't have to tell me there, Daryl. You're talking to average fella.
Yeah, but you're working in Cleveland, not Pittsburgh, Nick.
That's true. I'd be a god in Pittsburgh.
Yes, you would. You would. You know what, Nick? You're too smart for those people down there. Peterlin, too. You guys are too smart for those folks down there. That's why you're in Cleveland.
We also agree. Daryl, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. And, hey, go Browns.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll react to what Daryl had to say about this winnable game tomorrow next on 92.3 The Fan.